This is Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, Episode 2 for Wednesday, January 23rd, 2019. Hello from the Communications Department on the first floor of the LPS District Office. I'm Brian Fitzgerald.
And I'm Mindy Burback. Welcome to Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, our podcast that gives you an inside look at the people, activities, and programs that make Lincoln Public Schools the wonderful place it is. And today is I Love Public Schools Day in Nebraska. It's been fun to see all the social media posts where people share their memories of why they love public school and their education and how it inspired them.
After a long Martin Luther King Jr. weekend extended by a little winter storm, we're all back at it today. And while the hard task of concluding whether we will or will not have school is made by other folks, it is our job to communicate that to the city if that decision is to cancel school or other activities. Mindy, you've got the fun responsibility of posting to social media and then responding to the many interested citizens that share their thoughts with us. How's your week been?
Well, you know, I'm glad I'm not the person that has to make the decision whether or not to have school. It is a no-win situation, and we're just the messengers. I'm not sure that the students or even adults realize that we, the real people here, do go through and read all of those tweets and comments and private messages. Some of them are very entertaining. They give me a chuckle, and some of them are probably not very nice. Not something I'd want to show to my grandmother, but winter can be a very long for us in communications. Our phones are going off all night with alerts to social media messages asking if we're having school, and then we're up very early in the morning making sure we're awake enough to communicate those important messages. And we have such a great team working on this, as we have over 50,000 people to communicate with. That's no small task. There are many ways that we try to let our community know what's going on. We post it on our website first, which gets a lot of hits, and then social media. And as all that's going on, we're letting the media know, the local news media know. And then as those pieces are being put into place, there's somebody that's working on sending out that phone call, email, text message. We try to be considerate and not send anything out after 10 p.m. at night or before 5:45 in the morning, because we do know that people want to sleep. But that's why we post it on our website and social media. That way people can find out as soon as they're awake, or if they haven't gone to bed yet, they'll be able to know without worrying about getting that phone call. The important thing to remember is that school is always on until you hear otherwise. Always assume we are having school. Our website has all of our guidelines for school closings, which I'm sure has gotten a lot of hits this week. So yeah, what else?
It was fun to watch the statistics on that this week. I might put a little screen grab of that in the podcast notes on our website.
That would be great. I do know that our first school closing message had like over 500 shares. So I know that we see our social media numbers crawl and climb up that when that is announced. So what else is on our website this week?
Well, everybody in Lincoln likely knows that the zoo's undergoing some pretty big changes right now. There's new giraffes there already, there's tigers on the way, and there's a lot of construction going on getting the zoo ready for the big opening in March. What you might not know is that part of these changes include providing Lincoln Public Schools Science Focus program with an amazing new space near the front gates on A Street. If you look on our front page right now, there's a story with video about a press conference that was held there last week for our local news media to walk them through the new facilities and give them a sense of what will be happening there over the next few months. Mindy, you and I both had the opportunity to be there, and it's really going to be a fantastic spot for students at the Science Focus program. I love that position at the zoo looking over the new plaza on the north. That's the first time I had seen the plaza, and the Rock Island Trail to the east. Both the zoo and the Science Focus program are going to benefit from a huge, large new shared space where during the day the science kids can all get together and do stuff, and at night the zoo can host things. So even some of those really rainy days where they might have had to go into the old sort of covered space that they had by the commons, now they've got a big indoor space for doing zoo stuff. What did you like, Mindy?
Oh, I loved the big windows in the classrooms. You're going to be able to see the new giraffe enclosure, the red pandas. I mean, it's just going to really make you feel like you're part of this other world. It's really a great space. And I want to know if they can move my office to the zoo, because I think that would be a really fun place to work.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Well, Brian, also what we've been working on, you know, we didn't have school on Monday to mark the Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but that doesn't mean that our students weren't busy and had the day off. We had hundreds of students from across the city that were involved with the Martin Luther King Day youth rally in March. It started at the UNL Student Union, and they marched to the state capitol, where they ended with a call to action program. It was by far the largest crowd I've seen. I've been going for the last 3 years, and both the Union and the Capitol were packed. It was really a great event. Even though it was cold, the students put so much time and effort into getting that program put together. The students work with a group of caring adults to organize, write, speak, and run the event. So for today's main story on Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, we captured the audio from just a piece of that call to action program. This program was held in the Warner Chamber of the State Capitol. Now, if you've never been in the State Capitol or the Warner Chamber, it's on the first floor on the east side of the rotunda, directly across from where the legislatures meet every season. Inside, there are beautiful tall ceilings with tile mosaics that depict the Native American culture and history in Nebraska. Rows of desks and with lamps fill the chamber because this used to be the second legislative house when Nebraska had two chambers of the legislative branch. And now, you know, we're unique. We only have one branch and it's called the unicameral. Up above are balconies full of seating, and it was a packed house for Monday's event. During the program, the Belmont Track Scholars, who perform every year, performed their piece, Let the Children March, by Monica Clark Robinson. And the Belmont Track Scholars are fifth grade students from Belmont Elementary School, who meet weekly during the school year to give them leadership experience through a strength-based approach. To begin their performance, one scholar is standing at the podium in front of the mic for an introduction, while the other scholars are lining the aisle in the chamber among the crowd. Now, I have to apologize for this audio at the beginning. It's a little hard to hear because they're not right in front of the microphone. Please bear with the first 40 seconds. Eventually, they will march to the front through the crowd to deliver their piece, and it is such a powerful message.
1963, Birmingham, Alabama.
I couldn't play on the same playground as everybody.
I couldn't go.
Went to church. We went there to hear Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. speak. We were there to plan and hear what we could do. He wanted to raise an army of peaceful protesters to fight for freedom, his brown eyes flashing fire and love. He told us with three suggestions for a strategy for victory. He recommended we students from a nonviolent organization to take the freedom struggle into every community.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is an era of offensive on the part of oppressed people. All peoples deprived of dignity and freedom are on the march on every continent throughout the world. The students have taken the struggle for justice into their own strong hands. Today, the leaders shared future goals. I tell you, there is no noise as powerful as the sound of marching feet of a determined people.
The time has come for us to march.
If I march, Mama said, I'll lose my job sure enough. I can't march, said Daddy. I got a family to feed. The weight of the world rested on our parents' shoulders. But this burden, this time, did not have to be theirs to bear. King and I wondered, who would march for freedom? King provided hope even from jail in Birmingham. He would write,
let us all hope that the dark clouds of racial prejudice will soon pass away. The deep fog of misunderstanding will be lifted from our fear-drenched communities. And in some not too distant tomorrow, the radiant stars of love and brotherhood will shine over our great nation. with all their scintillating beauty.
James Bevel of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference would come up with an idea that would shock the nation: the use of children to move forward the civil rights campaign in Birmingham.
Quiet, quiet, children. I present to you Mr. James Bevel.
Good evening, children. My name is James Bevel, and I'm here to talk to you while I'm here in your hometown of Birmingham. We know that many of your moms and dads cannot participate in this fight for rights because their responsibility is to keep you safe, fed, and alive. We know they cannot do that from jail, so that's where you all come into play. We need as many of you as we can, boys, girls, kids, teens, to meet down at 16th South Street Baptist Church this Thursday, May 2nd, 1963. The police might spit on you, they might hit you, they will have dogs and billy clubs, but the only response ever is no response, or a prayerful response. Faith is very much part of what we are doing here. Children, you don't have a boss to fear or a job to lose.
We'll be King's Army. Fathers, let your children march.
Mothers, let your children march.
Yes, we are young, but we are not too young to want our freedom. Let the children march. They will lead the way.
Let the children march. They will lead the way.
Like 18-year-old Mary Louise Smith, who on October 21st, 1955, was ordered to relinquish her seat to a white passenger in a bus in Montgomery and refused. She was arrested and charged with failure to obey segregation orders and given a $9 fine.
It was finally May 2nd, D-Day, a sunny Thursday. Boys and girls, brothers and sisters, cousins and friends, listen to the radio to get our signal to start the march. Two of Birmingham's black disc jockeys, Top Ha and Shelley the Playboy, the Mouth of the South, will call and give us a signal over the airwaves.
All right, kids, it's sunny outside and the day is bright. Don't forget there's going to be a party in the park, and don't forget your toothbrushes, because lunches will be served.
These were our instructions for us to leave classes and report to 16th Street Baptist Church at noon.
My mother said, okay, don't go. Don't go to that march. You go to school. I told my mother,
I hear you.
We was raised not to lie. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell her a lie and say I was going. I said,
I hear you.
We left the church with our picket signs and our walking shoes, dressed in our best, feet ready. We began to walk.
Some of us even had our raincoats because we knew we were going to be hosed down by the water hoses.
The path may be long and troubled, but I'm gonna walk on.
Would I be hooked like Jimmie Lee Jackson, who was beaten as he tried to protect his grandfather and mother from a trooper attack on civil rights marshals?
Would we be heard like Naomi Wather, an 11-year-old who delivered a speech at the March for Our Lives rally, representing girls' stories who don't make the front of every national newspaper?
Would it all be worth it in the end?
Now, don't get me wrong, I wanted to run from the angry faces in the crowd, run from the fear, run from the danger like Elizabeth Eckleford did on September 4th, 1957, her first day at segregated Little Rock Central High School.
Boys and girls, brothers and sisters, cousins and friends, on and on, we marched, we marched, we marched.
Singing the songs of freedom, 1,000 strong we came.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me round, turn me round, turn me round. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me round. I'm gonna keep on walking, keep on talking, walking in the freedom band.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me round, turn me round, turn me round. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me round. I'm gonna keep on walking, keep on talking, walking into freedom land.
Hate dogged my heels all that day. It's yellow canine teeth sharp. Courage walked by my side and kept me going, but their people didn't want us to march. People like Birmingham Public Safety Commissioner Bull Connor, known as Eugene Connor.
As I've said on numerous occasions, we are not going to stand for this in Birmingham. We don't care whose toes we step on. Say now to these meddlers, come out of our city. The best thing for you to do is stay out. If you want to get slapped in jail, we will use the dogs on the children. All you gotta do is tell them you're going to bring the dog. Look at it, one. Honestly, the dog's wolf.
I was sprayed with water, stronger than I have ever felt.
Rough hands pushed me forward, and I fell to my knees in the police wagon. I was going to jail.
But we kept on marching.
We couldn't stop until things had started to change.
Hundreds of us went to jail on the first, even more on the second.
We were arrested, like 16-year-old Jesse Shepherd, who was soaked when the firefighters turned their hoses on her and her friends and loaded them up on the paddy wagon. You may ask why we were marching.
Because I couldn't understand why there had to be a colored fountain and a white fountain.
So that's why we marched.
Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. would tell our parents,
"Don't worry about your children. They are going to be all right. Don't hold them back because they want to go to jail. For they are doing a job for America and all mankind."
The jails were so overcrowded, we were crowded into cells too small for half the kids. They had set up a jail at the local fairground. We slept on cots and sang freedom songs. Our parents couldn't be there with us, but we sang, wrapped in our proud and loving arms of our ancestors.
Walking and talking with my mind, staying on freedom. Walking and talking with my mind, staying on freedom.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But we were still in jail, and we heard the next day and the next that more kids marched. And the water hoses they used to sing us couldn't stop our fierce tide.
The path may be long and troubled, but I'm gonna walk on.
Turn the other cheek, we had been taught, show love where there's hate. The world watches hate bruised us, but for 7 days walked only in love.
The jail swelled to bursting, and even President John F. Kennedy took notice. Daddy said he got letters and calls about these pictures from all over the world.
Good morning. I address you today as the President of the United States. This picture makes me sick. The black situation in Birmingham is intolerable. What law can you pass to do anything about local police power? We have done not enough on civil rights, but we have shoved and pushed, and there is nothing this country should give more time to. We can't keep telling people to wait for freedom, equality. Waiting, they really means never. I'm not saying anybody ought to be patient. The heart of the question is whether all Americans are to be afforded equal rights or equal opportunities, whether we are going to treat our fellow Americans as we wanted to be treated.
Our march would become a memory. A small start of a larger story. But we had been heard, and the seeds of revolution were sown.
Now the time has come for this nation to fulfill its promise.
We were making a difference. Our march had made them see. With nothing more than our feet, voices, and courage, we had done what adults could not.
Change was right around the corner. It felt like a cool breeze in the Alabama August.
Our feet made a difference. Thousands of children, some of them as young as 7 and 8 years old, had kept the momentum of the struggle going in this most pivotal hour.
We led the way. I don't think you heard me. We, the children, led the way.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me round.
That was amazing. That's the first time I had heard that. And you were just saying here while that was going on that it was memorized. They weren't reading a thing for fifth graders. And that was a remarkable piece that they did.
And I got goosebumps again. I mean, I got goosebumps and was crying there in the Warner Chamber. But just listening to it again, it brought goosebumps. And I was talking to Pete Ferguson, the event organizer, and I was talking to him. And he said that they performed this piece at Southwest High School at an assembly. And you could hear a pin drop. Those high schoolers gave their full attention to these fifth grade Belmont scholars. And he said it was just amazing to see them perform this. And like you said, not scripted. They did this completely on their own from memory, and just a powerful piece. And, you know, they received a standing ovation. I'm not sure there was a dry eye in the house after that they were finished. And, you know, I just encourage everyone to go to our website, check out the photos captured from the event. And we also will have a link to the video that was captured by City TV. Thank you to them for providing that to us.
What else is on that City TV? Did they do more of the event? Is there more to see?
Yes, you can see the full 90-minute event. It was a powerful where we had students from not only Lincoln Public Schools, but we had Waverly and other parochial schools, students who wrote their own pieces and addressed the chamber, students who were reciting pieces that have been written by great literary figures. So I encourage you to, if you want to be inspired, go check this out, because it really is inspiring to see our youth organize and participate this event.
Some other schools did some things leading up to Martin Luther King Day. There's a story on our front page right now called LPS Students and Staff Honor the Legacy of MLK. It highlights a couple events last week. One was at Scott Middle School. They do something every year, and they honored retired LPS teacher Lily Miles. And then there was also a keynote address at a community breakfast delivered by LPS employee and retired LPD captain Janelle Moore.
Very inspiring. And of course, we encourage you to check out all of our news stories. We have a great team of folks that work on these stories to let you see what's going on in our district. And again, it's so neat to see the amazing things that our students and teachers are doing in the classrooms and out representing Lincoln Public Schools in our community. Well, and I also want to let you know that we invite you to join us right here on Stories from Lincoln Public Schools next week. We're going to feature a new show that we've just started producing. It's LPS Live Superintendent Spotlight, where we feature Superintendent Steve Joel. He sits down with Mary Kay Roth, our Director of Communications, and they talk about what we're focusing on, what's going on in Lincoln Public Schools. We do it live on our Facebook page. You're welcome to tune in on Friday at 10 o'clock. But we will have highlights of that right here on Stories from LPS.
And it's fun. Every other week with those, we're featuring a student question. And so you get to see what the student question for next week is. That's all the time we've got for today. Thanks for joining us here on Stories from Lincoln Public Schools.